The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Nurse into his own zone, turns it up the left side. Now to McDavid, in over the line. McDavid looking to the net, waiting the pass. Scores! Hyman with the goal. McDavid with the assist. That's 100 on the season for Connor McDavid. Around to the right.
54th of the season. Score number 18, Jack. The assist, his 100th of the season. 10-37, Connor McDavid.
It is another history-making night for Edmonton Oilers captain Connor McDavid. He sets up Zach Hyman late in the second period, and McDavid has 100 assists in a single season. He's only the fourth person to do that. The others, Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, and Bobby Orr. Nikita Kucherov could still be joining that list. He has 99, but McDavid gets to 100 tonight, and the Edmonton Oilers absolutely pound the San Jose Sharks. 9-2 is the final, 4-0 after the first, 9-1 after the second, and then San Jose got the only goal of the third period. So the Oilers improved to 49-25-6, their home record on the year. Pretty good, 28-9-4, which comes a long way from how they started the season on home ice. Hope you're having a great Monday night. It's 20 after 10. Along with Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. We're live in Studio 99 for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Well, Rob, he did it. I don't know if anybody thought it would have happened on the ninth goal in a 9-2 victory, because he scored the first one and assisted on the ninth one, but another incredible milestone for Connor McDavid.
It is. When you start looking at the number of times it's been done and by the number of players, I was shocked when it first started coming up and it looked like he was going to do this. I'm like, okay, 100 assists, many people have probably done it. And then they said, well, actually just three. And it's three Hockey Hall of Famers, three of the greatest in the history of the National Hockey League. Then you're like, wow, okay, that is quite an impressive feat. You think to the start of the season that Connor and the Oilers had, the fact that I believe he's missed five games on the season. So you throw those variables in it, you're like, oh, just made it a little bit more special. So I was shocked that it took as long as it did tonight, because their line created two great A's every shift they were out there. A number of good looks. I thought the first one had gotten through to Hyman, but it went in off a skate. But you could see relief, happiness, satisfaction, all those expressions that Connor McDavid had after it went in. And now you really simply just focus on good health and a good final, whatever, 6-7 days before the playoffs start, because that is out of the way. And now everything strictly is on doing whatever it takes to win a Stanley Cup here in Edmonton.
He's always been, and he was about this potential milestone, very quiet about them, mm-hmm. or deflects the questions. I mean, he said today, well, I guess it's a round number, so people talk about it. Certainly his teammates were much more interested in it. Do you think he actually did think about it? Do you think he just thinks about personal stats in the context of, well, the better I do, the better team does? Or do you think this is totally something... when he's 45, 50, 55, he'll be like, oh, yeah, I did that. That was pretty cool.
Well, when he's 55, I'm 55, so you forget things. So probably at 35 and 45, he'll be right. Thinking about it. But, yeah, all great players know exactly what's going on in their stats, and as well as records and what other players around the National Hockey League are doing. It was certainly on his mind because the way he was playing as of late, everything was pass first. He wasn't looking for a shot, so he was looking to set players up. Now, that makes him a good teammate, but also shows that he understands where he is in the history books. So, yeah, he knew where he was, and I'm sure he appreciates where his name now is beside. It's beside Orr. It's beside Gretzky. It's beside Mario Lemieux. These are just – I know that every time something happens now, we always get the on the sports channels where they show the five players always up there, and it's always the same guys. Well, you know, 10, 15 years ago – Connor McDavid's going to be up there every time they show. He's not now reaching and accomplishing it with those guys. They're going to be chasing him now. And, yeah, I do believe he really appreciates what he's accomplished this year. He's just the type of person he is. He just doesn't talk about it.
9-2 is the final for the Oilers tonight, so they miss out on scoring 10 goals for the first time since November of 1996. I can definitely assure you. They weren't thinking about that because some players weren't born or would have been incredibly young when that happened. The last time the Oilers got nine, it was November 19th, 2011. They beat the Chicago Blackhawks 9-2.
Was that the night Gagne had his 8 points?
His was 8-4. The score was 8-4 in his game.
Okay.
So it's you don't get to this. Almost every other time. Well, every other time they got 10 was in the 80s.
I mean, that was just a Tuesday night
they
in
got,
the 80s.
They got nine in 1992 and in 1991. The scores were still pretty high first three or four years of the 90s, and then the dead puck era came in. But anyway, they were just all over the Sharks tonight, Robin. It was 4-0 after the first period the last time these two teams played again tonight, and many of the goals tonight scored by the Oilers were open net tap-ins. Yeah. Player driving the net, pass across, and an easy one getting flicked in as San Jose just got overwhelmed.
Well, they were overwhelmed. You feel for the goalie. What's his first? Is it Logan that was in there? Or Devin? Cooley.
Devin Cooley was in first. And he led an eight in the
night. He led an eight, and then you start thinking back, okay, which soft ones did he lend? Now, I know that Fogel went five hole on him, but to me, that's a partial break.
It's a two-on-one, so I mean, worry about the pass.
So to me, it's like that's a good shot by Fogel. And then the rest of them are – like absolute backdoor wide open nets, and it wasn't just Connor to Leon or Leon to Hyman, it was Perry to CeCe or Hendry. I mean, it was all the players on the Oilers were chipping in with these incredible plays because they outmanned the San Jose Sharks through 40 minutes. It was a mismatch on paper and it was a mismatch on ice.
Here's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch
joining that list.
Yeah, incredible. Just. You look at the players who've done Hall of Famers, beyond Hall of Famers, the best of the best, and now he's part of that list. We thought he got it immediately on that first goal, and I guess it was, you know, an indirect goal for him. But obviously the organization, all the players are extremely happy for him. Here's a guy that works so hard, puts team first all the time, and just have another accomplishment to his resume. We're very happy for him.
He's just such a humble guy, and he doesn't like to talk about himself. He doesn't like to talk about his accomplishments, but the team seems very excited for him. Like, I guess, does that say something about the team? Because they were excited when Zach got 50. They're excited when he gets 100.
Yeah, no, I've known Connor for a while, coaching him in junior and here, and it's always been the same. He's always been very humble, wanting the attention go to his teammates. And don't get me wrong, he likes the drive in him to be the best all the time, but he gets embarrassed if you flatter him with compliments. He'd rather direct those to his teammates, and again, the team's extremely happy for him and very proud of him.
Lost in all the McDavid excitement was a few key performances from some of your depth guys. Warren Fogle's one away 20 goals, which is a big milestone for him, and Dylan Holloway got his first 3-point game of his career. Just some thoughts on some of the performances from those two.
Yeah, I thought everyone played a really good game, and those guys, it's nice to see those guys get rewarded with some offense, some goals and assists. Dylan and Warren were, you know, two of the guys that sometimes you just benefit from being in the right place and maybe not having a great game and getting on the score sheet a few times, but their game all around was really solid, making plays and skating. You know, I thought our team skated really well and played with a lot of speed. So, but again, we're happy that, you know, we're happy that Connor obviously hit that milestone. That's the biggest thing, but it's nice to see those depth guys get some offense too.
Chris, as you kind of round out your roster, round out your game before the playoffs. What do you take from a game like this? Is it tough to really evaluate as a coach?
Yeah, it is. It's, you've got a team that's struggling this year, and you know, at the end, they don't have a lot of push. And you know, I thought we played a good game, but it's not a game against you know, first round matchup, whether it's Vegas or LA or whoever that might be. And so, yes, I thought we played really well, but we're playing against a team that's not making the playoffs, and we don't want any false hope.
And a broad strokes question, not really pertaining to this game, but why does the Ekholm-Bouchard pair work so well? What, how do they do their thing?
Well, I think you just have two extremely good hockey players, and they read off each other. You know, I think the biggest thing any defenseman, I think, doesn't get enough attention is how well you move the puck out of your zone. Most of the times that you get into trouble is not or turning the puck over, not getting into the forward's hands, and having then you're in a position to defend. And when they are in a position to defend, they are good at that. But I think what really sets them apart is their puck movement.
The result of this game aside, and an opponent and everything, what did you think about the look of those top two lines that you pieced together? And you feel like there's a decent mix there that has some potential?
Well, anytime you score, you know, 9 goals and you're thinking, yeah, it looks great, and we're very happy with how the lines rolled, and it seemed like there was chemistry with everybody. But there's also caution on who we were playing, you know, a non-playoff team at the end of their season. And we'll see a little bit more as we go forward. And the Arizona game, Colorado, it gets a lot more competitive. And, you know, and then also Vander coming back in the lineup, whether that's against Arizona or Colorado, you know, we'll have to juggle the lines a little bit. But tonight, after game, you win 9-1, you love it, but you also have to be cautious.
Do you expect to play McDavid, Draisaitl, and company in both of the back-to-backs, or do you envision a scenario where guys maybe only play one of those two?
We're going to wait and see, make that decision tomorrow after Vancouver's game. If Vancouver wins, it's really easy for us to take guys out because those games don't mean anything. We're definitely finishing second place. If they lose, and then you know, that makes it a little more difficult. You know, the goal is to win as many games as possible. We would like to finish first in our division. But, yeah, we have to make those decisions later. So right now we kind of have an idea. After tomorrow night, I think we'll be really making decisions then.
Chris, you worked with David with the Rangers organization. On either side of it, how difficult is that for coaches when you're, you know, watching that, and you know, you still want to sort of see your team do certain things, but you don't want to embarrass the opposition, and they're having a really challenging night like they did tonight.
Yeah, you know, it's, I have a lot of credit to David. David Quinn's an outstanding coach, a little bit of a mentor for me. I was able to work under him with the affiliation with Hartford in New York. I think he's a great coach, and you know, difficult circumstances being in there where a team has been, you know, not having the same caliber of talent as, you know, he doesn't have the McDavids and the Draisaitls, and again, you're not making the playoffs. It's the end of the season. It's a difficult situation. I've been in that situation in the American League where I've been lost players, and it's the end of the year, and yeah. But, yeah, it's tough.
One more here from Cam. How have you felt about your team's road game here recently, and just your thoughts on closing the season out on the road, chance to do that?
That's tough. It feels like we haven't been on the road for a long time. We've been here for quite a few games. But it depends on which road games. You know, it's been up and down. I think of the Dallas game, and I'm thinking, geez, we're not a very good road game or road team, but I'm thinking there's been some really good ones in there. But I think when we get down to it, the importance of the games, our guys have really showed up and played well, and you know, I think it's good that we finished on the road and built some momentum, because when you enter the playoffs, that's so important to stealing those games on the road, because everyone's typically has a better road record. We're going to have to make sure that when we hit the playoffs that we are playing our best. Okay, thank you.
That is Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch at the mic, courtesy Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. FlyEIA.com/nonstop. The final damage tonight, Oilers 9, Sharks 2. So Connor McDavid has a goal and an assist. He gets to 100 assists on the season. Bouchard had two assists, or a goal and an assist. He's up to over 80 points. First defenseman since, well, the only Oilers defenseman other than Paul Coffey to get to 80 points in a season. Henrique, a goal and two assists. Nurse, three assists. Holloway, a goal and two assists. Bunch of players with 2 points. Ekholm, plus four. CC, plus four. Rob Brown, plus one. I don't even know how you got on the game sheet, as it was just an absolute rout. And Stoff's down there and asked the question. Knobloch filled in for David Quinn when Quinn had COVID and was coaching the Rangers, and Chris was obviously coaching the farm team in Hartford. You played pro hockey. Certainly your teams in the Dub would have pounded some teams and in the NHL as well. I don't believe in running up the score, especially in the highest level. But he also said, Knobloch said, you don't want to totally embarrass the team either. What's the line for you?
Well, you play. You continue to play. You don't showboat. You don't celebrate goals. You don't put your first power play unit out in a 9-1 lead.
The Oilers didn't get a power play.
They didn't get a power play in the game, so that was easy. The third period, the Oilers went fourth line, third line, second line, first line to start the period. You also don't stop trying, because that's embarrassing too. When you're on the other team and the other team's not trying, and you're like, okay, yeah, now they're making us look stupid because they're not even going to work out here.
Right.
No showboating. Be professional. But you do feel for the other team. Every player has been through a game like this on the other side, whether it's minor hockey, junior, college, minor pro. At some point, you've been in that position, and you know what's going through.
And
your mind.
Isn't Vegas winning the last game of the Stanley Cup Final 9-3.
No.
It's like, this is our moment. This is a San Jose team that's had a lot of poor nights.
Before every game, every team in the NHL puts the opposition's lineup on the board. They have them all up there, and they'll have circled certain players. So tonight, when that lineup, well, it would have been in the morning skate, and then tonight, so the Oilers players are looking at that lineup. And I swear they would have had to ask around the room. It's like, hey, anyone know who that 32 is? Anyone know 43? Like, they would have had to ask, because they wouldn't know some of those players. So going into the game, the Oilers are saying, okay, this lineup is half the team is in the from the American Hockey League. They don't have – at one point they had a below-average team, but they had a Couture, they had a Hurdle. They had some players that, okay, these guys actually can hurt you. They don't have that right now. San Jose is in a complete transition right now. There's three defensemen that I think had under 50 games in the NHL. Their only reason they're here is to play out the season. So this was – the Oilers players realize that. But it's one of those, okay, let's set the tone in the first period. Let's put this game out of reach. Mm-hmm. And they did. And then they came out in the second, and a lot of it was the Oilers played well, but also self-inflicted wounds. I mean, on the McDavid 100th assist, all five San Jose players left when the Oilers had control of the puck in their own zone. There was a terrible pinch, and Corey Perry set up, I think it was at CC, or Bouchard.
That was Bouchard.
Bouchard backdoor. It was a 3-on-1. So those were self-inflicted wounds, and there's nothing you can do as a team. You're like, well, okay, I got a 3-on-1. I'm not going to dump it in.
Yeah.
I'm going to score. So it's a tough finish of the year for the San Jose Sharks. They ran into a very good hockey club coming off two losses. And the Edmonton Oilers were going to make sure early that this was not going to be a third one. And they got their star back. And guess what? It took 53 seconds for their star player to get on the board. So that was a long-winded answer to a question of what's going through the minds of these players. You play hard. You don't embarrass them. The way you embarrass teams is by showboating. The Oilers did none of that.
9-2, the Oilers take it. McDavid gets to 100 assists. Serious.
Players that have done that in this game. There's been a lot of players playing this for a long time. What does maybe that part of it mean to you? You're on a small list there.
Yeah. You know what? It means a lot. Those three, obviously, are three of the greatest players to ever play. And to share, I guess, something with, a little something with them, it means a lot to me. But obviously just thankful for my teammates, the staff here in Edmonton, coaches and everybody. But I feel very, very grateful for our staff here in Edmonton and all the players here. You know, it's been a different type of year, and but everybody's stuck with it, and we put ourselves in a good spot heading into when it matters most.
Connor, was it fitting to do it on a goal by Zach, too, given the years that you guys have had?
Yeah, I think so. You know, obviously Zach and I have played lots together. He's had such an incredible year. We've both benefited from playing with each other, and it was fitting. Yeah.
At what point does an accomplishment like this set in? Did it set in on the bench there where people were?
It always sets in when you hear the crowd and you hear the support from the fans and the reaction from your teammates. I would say that too. To see the reception from my teammates and. That's I guess when it sets in. Yeah.
Wayne get it 11 times. Is that an impressive out?
That's insane. Yeah, just got 100 assists year every year. So that's why he's the greatest of all time. And
can you catch him?
Can I catch him? like I said, we got some more important things to deal with. Right now.
Can I ask you one about this? Because you're always very team oriented. But was there sort of a time during the stretch of the season when you thought? I'm not saying you wanted to get there, but maybe I could get there. Or did it ever kind of cross your mind?
You know what? It was not something that only you ever set out and say, "Oh, I want to do this." It was kind of just happened naturally, and had that weird stretch where I didn't score any goals, but had a bunch of assists, and that was kind of when I was made aware of it. And like I said, not something that you set out to do or whatever. It's just a product of playing with some really good players, playing on a good team, and putting in a lot of hard work.
How do you feel the team is now? Two games left, but now it's the focus is playoffs, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. And it was even tonight. I like that we did things the right way. I didn't think guys were cheating. I didn't think guys were getting above pucks or flying by or doing any of that stuff. We give up two goals, but I liked a lot of things about our game.
All right, that is Connor McDavid after a 9-2 win over the Sharks. And he did say it means something to him to be with those names. So that's pretty cool.
Well, that's 100%. I mean, all hockey players are fans first. And they grew up either watching or hearing or reading about all the stars before them. And even when Connor McDavid was great in minor hockey, I'm not sure he was expecting one day that he would be named with those players or break or setting records or doing the same things they did. So sometimes the little kid comes out in you. Even if you're 25, 27, 30, 40, whatever you are in the National Hockey League, there's still that little kid inside you that, that's the guy I used to watch. And that was the guy that I looked up to. And now my name's beside him.
David, the first star tonight, Warren Fogle. He was looking for the hat trick in the third. He's the second star.
He had a number of chances for that.
And they were looking for him. Like, even if he was behind the net, you could tell, okay, we'll just dump behind the net and maybe Warren can go to work.
Well, and then they actually double shifted him. And they put him out on his line, then on the fourth line right afterwards. Fogle had a great game. He did play very well.
Holloway, the third star. Rob and I give out the fourth star for Jandell Holmes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. We can each pick different. I'm going to give it to Corey Perry.
He was excellent.
Had an assist.
He was excellent in this hockey game. Wow. I'm going to go with. Did Adam Henrique get anything tonight? He didn't get a star?
Didn't get a star.
The guy that had a goal, two assists, 3 points, and was plus four got nothing.
What was his face-off?
70% face-off.
Okay, that's a good choice. A lot of choices tonight.
Most nights that gets you a star, but not tonight.
9-2, the Oilers take it. You could be a star on our phone lines at 780-496-0063. Presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, purr all the way. You're also going to hear from Nugent Hopkins and Hyman. We're live in Studio 99. This is Hart.
Live Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Put it off the inboard so it goes to the left wing corner. Carrick to the point to Nurse. Fans on his shot and the puck comes free. Smith's got a breakaway. Smith in the shot. Glove save made by Skinner.
All right, Skinner gets the win. That's his save of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310 Glass or visit crystalglass.ca. He was beaten twice. I guess it's good. He may have allowed his worst goal of the season in a 9-2 win as Gustin snuck a weird backhander by him early in the second period. Zetterlund scored in the third off. Desharnais went looking for...
Yeah, that was one, I think.
Boy, the crowd got excited, though, when they saw Vinny rushing
they
through
did.
The neutral zone.
But it's well, you, the one thing is Vinny's a quick learner because his next shift out, he carried the puck all the way down across the blue line and just dumped it behind the net that time. The first, actually, you know what? I was excited when that first went in. It was a bad goal, and Skinner will tell you it was a bad goal.
Yeah.
All goalies at some point let in a bad goal. You rarely see bad goals let in like that more than once in every 30, 40, 50, 60 once a year.
Yeah.
So it's out of the system. I don't think we're going to see another one of those, but that was one that I think it shocked the guy shooting the puck just as much as it shocked
Skinner.
Well, I don't
think he got everything on it. Maybe
he got
that's
nothing
part of the reason
on it. Yeah.
Like he was barely moving, and then all of a sudden the ref was pointing, and I started thinking, did a San Jose player deflect it that I didn't see cut across
no.
the front of the net?
You know what it looked a lot like? It looked a lot like the one when the first goal that
Campbell
let
down
in.
To the minors,
almost
yeah.
identical to that. But again, it's out of the system. One of every goal he lets in a freak, weird goal. That was the one for Skinner, and now we can smooth sailing the rest of the way for him.
So the Oilers win it 9-2. So the Japanese Village goal light is on 630ched.com. Whenever the Oilers score five or more in a game, you can print up a coupon for a free appetizer at Japanese Village. Save $10 on all certified Angus beef New York steak dinners. For details, visit jvedmonton.ca. Okay, we'll go to Keenan on the CertainTeed hotline. Keenan, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Another good win for the Oilers, and once again, another good game by Cody Ceci, I would say. I'm really impressed, especially after the trade deadline when everyone was calling for him to be out of Edmonton and the way he's been playing as of late. And it's coming at the right time, coming for playoffs here, and I'm really happy that it feels like we picked up a new acquisition at the trade deadline, not going to lie. That's how I'm looking at it. And to see the way he's playing, getting that goal tonight, even in a high-scoring game, it's great to see him contributing all over the ice.
Yes, CeCe was excellent in this hockey game. Plus four makes you feel good if you're Cody CeCe and if you're a CeCe fan. They need a good Cody CeCe in the playoffs, as well as needing a good Darnell Nurse. That pairing back together has played very well as of late. But yeah, Cody CeCe, I mean, there was a lot of people, and I've talked to some that were thinking, okay, this Stetcher's going to come in, and that he's going to, why don't they put him with Nurse, and that can be the guy playing instead of CeCe? And no, Stetcher's a nice addition, but he's not going to take the ice time of Cody CeCe, and you can tell the coaching staff has a ton of faith in CeCe, and he's rewarded them by playing very well in the last little bit.
Yeah, I think that Stetcher will be the seventh defenseman.
Yep.
Well, I guess he and Broberg. I mean, Broberg.
I guess it'll depend on what side.
What they need. Obviously, health, depending on how that goes. But I think if the Oilers are healthy, these are the six defensemen.
100%, yes.
All right, let's go back down to the Oilers' dressing room. We'll catch up with the guy who scored his 54th goal of the season. McDavid got his 100th assist on it. Here's Zach Hyman.
A little bit just about Zach, about Connor and his passing. What do you think makes him such a great passer?
I mean, he's always a threat, I think. He creates so much time for himself with his speed that you often get odd man rushes with just 3-on-2s or 2-on-1s, and then he's really deceptive, you know, with his ability to change an angle on a pass, to make a saucer pass. Really hard for the D to defend a guy who moves that fast and can stick handle the way he does as well, and then make plays. So I think he just does all those things, and he makes the right read so many times. It's just it's fun to play with.
How does it feel getting the goal to give him 100 assists?
It's special to be a part of that moment, obviously. We've scored that type of goal a bunch this year, so fitting that I guess that was the way. Just to be a part of it, it's pretty cool. Be part of history. Only three other guys have done it, so and those guys are pretty special players. So pretty cool company.
When it happened, I know you guys were trying to be respectful to the Sharks, right? There wasn't a lot of celebrating after goals. It almost looked like you shoved him down the handshake line to give high fives to the guys, but maybe that's just part of his makeup. He was subtle in his celebration.
Well, I don't know if he was going to or not, but I didn't want to make sure he did. Because it's, even though it was the ninth goal, it doesn't matter. Like, that's that's just like a historic moment, right? It's a milestone that only three other guys have gotten to, and those three guys are Hall of Fame, once-in-a-lifetime players, right? So to be in that kind of company is pretty cool and special and doesn't happen often. So I think he deserved to have his moment there, and regardless of what the score was.
Just want to ask about the team, because everyone was so happy when you got to 50. Everyone just seemed like they were so happy when he got to 100. Like Gary Milestone, it's almost celebrated more by the person, the team around it, than maybe the person that reaches it. I guess is that what just says about the camaraderie of this group a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you hit a milestone like that, like when I hit 50, it's exciting, but it's more exciting to see the kind of the reactions of everybody else and how excited they are for you. I think that's the best part about hitting a milestone is it takes so many guys around you to help you get to that whatever milestone it is. It's obviously it's an individual milestone, but really it's a team milestone because there's so many guys who have helped you on the way. You know, for Connor, there's these 100 plays he had to make that somebody had to score for him to get to that point. And obviously he's phenomenal in setting that up. Probably could have a few more. But so I think everybody's just so thrilled to be a part of it. And he's a guy who again doesn't celebrate every milestone he hits because he hits so many. So this one extra special. I think everybody was aware of it, and you could see everybody just really enjoy seeing him do it.
That is Zach Hyman as he gets the Oilers' ninth goal tonight, his 54th of the season. McDavid and Nurse assisted on it as the Oilers beat the Sharks 9-2 to win the season series.
That's good.
Two games to one.
Because it was in no one knew what was going to happen before the game. This was their chance for San Jose. Because we never did check, but this, I'm not sure San Jose won a lot of season series today with their 19 wins, but they had the opportunity, and the Oilers wanted to make sure that they took this season series, and they did so emphatically.
The Wild beat the Kings 3-1 as we check the scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. Rangers clinch the President's Trophy, 4-0 win over Ottawa. Capitals over the Bruins, 2-0. Sabres beat the Lightning 4-2. Kucherov had an assist. He's at 99. Penguins knock off the Predators 4-2. Islanders clinch a playoff spot, 4-1 win over the Devils. And a huge win for Detroit, Lucas Raymond in overtime. They had to come from behind against Montreal.
Down 4-1.
4-1 to win 5-4 in overtime. So we'll start with the East, Rob.
Yep.
Boston, a point ahead of Florida. They both have a game left. So whoever finishes second plays Toronto. As I said, the Rangers clinch the President's Trophy. They're done, by the way. They also finished today.
Seriously?
Yes.
They get a lot of rest before that first playoff game.
Carolina will Carolina could win their last game and they'd only be a point behind the Rangers, but they're guaranteed second, and we're guaranteed Carolina and the Islanders. Tampa Bay's sort of been in that nether region for a while. Unlikely they were going to move up, and unlikely they were going to be caught. So they're the first wild card team. So all the teams I'm going to list here have played 81 games. Washington and Detroit have 89 points. Pittsburgh has 88. Philadelphia has 87. So those are the teams.
Washington, they hold their
Washington,
own
Washington, yes.
They win, they're in.
Yes, they have the regulation. No, Pittsburgh has the most regulation wins, but they have to win.
But Washington, if they
and
win their
Philly,
game.
Well, Philly could tie Washington if they win in regulation, and then you'd go to the next tiebreaker, which, oh, man.
Pretty sure.
They'd have to go to the fourth. If Philly and Washington wound up tied, I think you'd have to go to the fourth tiebreaker. Just going off, if Philly won in regulation and Detroit and Pittsburgh didn't get any points and Washington lost. So anyway, it's still interesting in the Eastern Conference. I don't think Philly's been eliminated going off this. Western Conference. Dallas is first in the Central. Winnipeg and Colorado will play each other for sure. Vancouver, still likely to finish first in the Pacific. Edmonton, 104. LA, 97. Vegas 96, but with a game in hand on LA.
Well, Vegas now holds their own fate in their hands. If they win their last two games, they will play the Edmonton Oilers in the first round. The Vegas Golden Knights play against a bad Duck team and then a bad Blackhawk team. They should win both their games, and that should be the first round playoff matchup for the Oilers. The Vancouver Canucks still have a chance to win the Western Conference. They are 4 points behind Dallas. Dallas has one game left against the St. Louis Blues team that is the ninth place team. So that is a chance of an upset. Vancouver has two very winnable games against the Flames and against the Jets team that will be resting half of its players.
And Vancouver has the regulation win. The first tiebreaker is regulation wins. Then it's regulation plus overtime wins.
So that's why
then it's wins.
But that's why when you go back to the Washington.
Then it's head-to-head.
Yeah, when you go to Washington, Washington has the regulation wins over Philly.
Right, but if Philly won their final
game. Yeah, but Washington, and Washington loses, you mean?
Yes, if Washington were to lose in regulation time and Philly won in regulation, they'd be tied in everything. So it would then be head-to-head, which I'd have to look up.
So then it's Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh and Detroit would have to both lose in regulation.
Yes, because okay. Detroit needs to get more points because they don't have very many regulation wins.
Right, so.
So there, it's funny. We are 3 days from the end of the season, and there's, what, two series are set right now?
Yeah, only That's two it. Series are set, yeah.
And one of them, they haven't even set where they're playing it. It's yeah. Winnipeg and Colorado. Winnipeg needs 1 point, and they should get that 1 point tomorrow, and they will host the Colorado Avalanche in the first round. So
four teams have already played 82 games. Nashville, the Rangers, Buffalo, and New Jersey, who are out. So just kind of weird.
It's pretty good for those two teams. They get like first-class flights to wherever they want to go. They're at the resorts early. They got the golf tee times made. But it's funny. Thursday, there are seven of the playoff teams for the Western Conference.
And it's all Western teams.
All Western teams.
Not every team in the West, but only Western teams.
Yeah. And the seven of the teams that are in the playoffs are playing. And all those games could mean nothing, or all those games could mean everything, depending on what happens tomorrow.
For
seeding. So it's pretty exciting, interesting end of the season, as the Oilers still don't know who they're playing, and it could be a couple of different teams. It could be both the Vegas Golden Knights or the LA Kings. The Golden Knights right now hold, if they win their two games, it will be Edmonton-Vegas.
9-2, the Oilers win tonight over the Sharks. So a huge donation to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous from James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. They are filling the net with $100 every time the Oilers score, so $900 this evening. All right, you're going to hear from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and we'll sneak in a couple more phone calls at 780-496-0063. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers, 630 Chad.
We'll go back to the left point. A shot by Kulak to the middle. Scores! Kulak's shot got blocked. It went right to Henrique. And it's 2-0 Edmonton.
All right. Henrique scoring 4:01 into the game. Part of a four-goal first period by the Oilers. They then got five in the second period as they throttle the San Jose Sharks 9-2 tonight at Rogers Place. 28-9-4 is the Oilers' home record. Tied for the fourth most home wins ever in a season. All the other ones were in the 1980s. Surprise, surprise. And, a couple road games coming up against Arizona and Colorado to finish it out. And as Rob was saying, determine the seeding and the opponent. There was one power play in the game. It was for the Sharks. They did not score. The Oilers did not have a power play. That update for Conlon Motorsports. They'll help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' four locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.com. Actually, I thought, who cares at this point? I thought San Jose could have had a two-man advantage because I think Vinny flipped that straight out.
I think it went straight out, too. I was a little surprised.
The replay, they can't review it. But
and I'm not sure it would have made a whole lot of difference.
They weren't calling.
No, the referees wanted this game to get done as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Yes, I think. And it will. Everyone wanted it. I think that if San Jose iced the puck, I think Skinner would have come out and played it.
Well,
just
they waved off one icing, but it was like should have been an icing.
Yes.
Which is fine. I mean, I do think that's part of the official's job.
So 100%.
Recognize what's going on in the game.
And both teams would want that too.
Yeah. 9-2, the Oilers win it. First time they've got the 9 since 2011. They have not got to 10 since November of 1996. There was like a brief, we want 10 chant.
But I think
it was very, like, it was very muted.
Because I think the fans at that point felt, I mean, that goalie, it killed me when that goalie let his eighth in. I'm like, oh, that poor.
Well, like these two goalies, like the other goalie, well, I can't even remember his name. What's his last name? Georgi Romanov.
Romanov.
Yeah, like he'd never played in the NHL before.
Seriously?
No, the other guys played like 4 games.
And their backup had never played in the NHL.
So it's, yeah, I mean, I think if this was, the fans were smart enough to realize, like if this was Calgary Toronto or Vancouver,
Vegas.
They're chanting, we want 10, when the ninth one went in the
they
second
They might have
period.
Started chanting when the fifth one in.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. But this was...
Yeah, it was a mismatch.
I think the Fogel hat trick would have been cool because it also would have been his 20th goal.
And he really wanted that one,
and
too.
And he did want that.
And the teammates wanted him, too. Well, and that's, I know that they touched on it with Hyman, where Hyman talked about the fact that the players celebrate milestones. The teammates celebrate it more than the player himself.
Yeah.
So that's why everyone wanted Fogel to get that hat trick, and the coach put him out there and double-shifted him. And everyone, like, he'd never been – had the puck passed to him so many times in one period in his life.
Oh.
Everyone, they had, well, I don't know if you noticed, they had a set play off a faceoff for Fogel to go backdoor for an empty net. It was Carrick won the faceoff to Bouchard. Dacom, he faked the shot pass, and then he hit Fogel backdoor looking for him to get his hat trick there. So they actually had set faceoff plays trying to get Warren Fogel his hat trick. He still has 2 other games before the season's over to try and get it.
Yeah, Georgi Romanov, 24 years of age, 6'4", 207. He was playing for the San Jose. Actually, he played in a few games in Wichita, 29 games with the San Jose Barracuda. So he gets thrown in.
Wichita.
What a time to go in. Okay, it's 8-1. You're in. Go win us the game.
Well, he held him to 9.
I don't know if that's what they said on the
He did his job. He held him to 1 the rest of the way.
It was 1-1 after he went in.
That is true. That is true. I mean, incredible moment. Was he? Oh no, he was in net. That's the kid that was in net for the history making goal.
He gave up the 100th assist goal.
Well, you can always remember
that's
that.
That's tough. I mean, I know we're kind of joking, but that's. What was your first game? Well, I had to replace our starter. Oh, did he get hurt? No, we were having a bad night. Oh, what was it like? 2-0 early in the game? No, it was late in the second period. It was 8-1.
Yeah, and well, in all honesty, none of the goals were the goalie's fault. This was one where a team in front of the goalie
made that. He made a great save on Holloway in the second period. I know this. I wrote it down. He made a good blocker save on Holloway. Holloway fired it from the slot.
There weren't a lot of great saves in the game tonight.
No.
On the San Jose side, actually Skinner made 2.
Skinner stopped a breakaway, and the one in the third.
The 2-on-1 backdoor. That was a great save.
Yeah. Oilers win 9-2. So I set the line. Under was first period. Over was second, third period, or overtime if there was overtime. For when McDavid got his 100th assist for River Cree Resort and Casino Excitement, bet on it. So it was over because it was in the second period. So Riley gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. Do we still have Sir Robert on hold, Kellen? Okay, so we got Sir Robert standing by. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Well, obviously, obviously tonight was never in doubt. We knew McDavid was going to get that milestone assist. We knew the Oilers were going to blow San Jose out. I think it was just a matter of how bad. But obviously, you know, these last two games coming up, I guess, you know, it's highly unlikely that they're going to, well, and it was kind of unlikely before that they were going to catch Vancouver. So I guess what I would say is, and I know Skinner and Pickard are going to split these last two games. Now, do you guys think that maybe that's determined if Vancouver somehow loses to Calgary tomorrow? Does that maybe determine who gets the tougher of the two games, or does it really matter? Personally, in my opinion, I don't think it matters at this point.
I think Pickard plays the next game.
I agree.
And Skinner plays against Denver, against Colorado.
I agree. I think that's the way it's going to go.
All right, we will still hear from the Nuge. Oilers win at 9-2. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
It's rimmed to the left side where Ekholm keeps it in for the Oilers to Bouchard in the middle. Now on the right to Draisaitl in front of the net. Steered on goal. Loose puck. Scores! Warren Fogle able to get it in past Cooley. It's 5-1 Edmonton.
Okay, the Oilers go on to beat the San Jose Sharks 9-2. Here's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Long for a lot of this, all of this ride with Connor. What do you, mm-hmm. what does this one maybe mean in the big picture of things you've seen him do?
It's probably the hardest one that he's accomplished. I mean, it's you can't really be surprised with the things that he does every year. But I mean, amazing accomplishment for the year. You probably didn't think it was possible for it to happen this day and age. But I mean, he keeps surprising you. So yeah, amazing accomplishment. Very proud of him.
It almost seems like. There was a point this year where he joked that, well, I'm only going to pass the puck from now on. But was there a point in the year where everyone said, hey, this is the thing?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. I think he went on a roll there where it was about 10, 15 games where he kept racking them up, and then all of a sudden it was possible. Yeah, I guess at that point. But before that, I mean, you don't really think about it. You think it's pretty far out of reach. I mean, but obviously, crazy he was able to get it done. And yeah, I mean, he's like I said, he just keep surprising you. And I mean, last year, I mean, 60 something goals, and this year 100 assists. So, definitely hard to kind of come up with enough to say about it. But definitely happy for him, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of the ride.
He's so humble about his accomplishments. He doesn't like talking about himself very much. But how does the team feel when he does reach a milestone like that? Obviously, you guys are all very happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting for us to be a part of it, to get to see him on a day-to-day basis. It's not just in a game. It's in practice, dominating every practice and pushing us to get better and to work harder in practice and translate to the game.
Boston at Shuffle was Dylan Holloway in his first three-point game of his career. What has he brought to the team since being called back up?
Yeah, I mean, Diller's a horse. I mean, he's strong on the puck. He can make plays and a great skater. So, I mean, tonight to see him get rewarded for going to the right spots and then making some really nice plays is always nice to see.
Can you feel this team kind of stealing itself to prepare for kind of what's to come here, Ryan, the different little portions of your game that you need to have in order or come into focus?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. We know we're two away here from the real deal. So we got to prepare the right way, and that's mentally, physically. But I thought tonight, I mean, obviously you get up a few, it's easy to kind of stray away from your game and just kind of mosey on through. But I thought we did a good job of having guys coming back and working for each other and playing the right way and building the right habits.
Okay, that is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Thanks to Brendan Escott for getting us the post-game interviews from the Oilers dressing room. Get more on this game on the Oilers on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. They throttle the Sharks 9-2 tonight. Connor McDavid does indeed reach 100 assists in a season. Our next game broadcast, presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers, Oilers at Arizona on Wednesday, 6:30 face-off show, and the game will start at 8. Thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer here at Rogers Place, and to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer back at 6:30. Jed, we've been live in Studio 99. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.